Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now.
Hey there, Game Pass or Pass listeners. This is Ben.
And this is Alex.
And we have a podcast called That Gaming Podcast, where we share opinions about the PlayStation and Nintendo games we're playing right now.
That's right. Just like Corey and Basher here, we get right to the point on what we thought about the games. And we keep it honest.
So find us on your favorite podcast player. And now enjoy this episode of Game Pass or Pass.
Time for a very awkward love story between an AI and human edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service, tell you which games to pass on to your friends and which games to maybe remove that AI and just pass on by. I am Corey. I am joined by the man. I got nothing. The man who I was going to say the man who likes AIs, but he doesn't. I was going to say the man who likes Cortana, but you don't. The man that will at least admit that this is still a better love story than Twilight, Basher.
Listen, first of all, I hate how you paint this incorrect picture of me out here, like I'm anti AI, like I'm not anti AI. First of all, I support all AI and the AI movement. I'm an ally to AIs. It's just like some AIs are, you know, they're Cortana.
I don't know what that means. We are here to talk about Halo 4. We are almost there. We are almost done with our journey to play every Halo campaign before Halo Infinite. But Microsoft had to go and screw it up and be like, hey, what if we release the multiplayer early? Even though that doesn't really matter, it matters enough that it threw everything off. They knew we were doing this. They knew. They listen.
They got mad we passed on all the exclusive games in Game Pass this year.
Exactly. And did you know that you can let us know what you think about all the exclusive games this year? gpopfans@gmail.com. Or you can give us a call, 574-651-9256. Shoot us a text message there. You can choose a voicemail. Pull out your phone right now. Let us know what your favorite Halo campaign is.
I just want to give a heads up real quick. If you hear a light purr, that is not me. That's the kitty cat.
Are you saying you don't purr?
I didn't say, again, you're painting a picture of me that's completely incorrect. I'm pro purr. I like purr.
You heard it here first. Basher purrs. Halo 4, here are the details on this game. This is developed by 343 Industries. First time, this was the first Halo that was created without Bungie at the helm. Regularly priced, I believe this is part of the Master Chief Collection. It's obviously available on Xbox 360, Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, as well as PC. There's no crossplay for the campaigns. There are cloud saves that will all sync for you. There is no DLC in terms of campaign, but obviously there is content that was multiplayer, that was DLC, et cetera, et cetera. But that's it. Halo 4, we're almost there. First 343 game. Let's talk about it.
All right, so you started off pretty rough depiction of me and my hatred of AIs. It's really just Cortana. I do not like this love story at all. And this is a Halo campaign where they went all in on this idea of the love story between a very sad young man and his computer girlfriend. I was not on board from the beginning.
You are not wrong, but I would put a little more context into it of just saying that, like, I don't know if it's a story of, the focus is, I think it's more on humanizing Master Chief. And I think, again, in hindsight, I think that is, I don't want to say important because it's not the right word. I think that was their goal. We play Halo games and everyone likes Master Chief. We want to play as Master Chief, right? So it seems like they sort of took that idea and was like, well, what if we humanize him more and give you more backstory into him? What if we make him the focal character, but we also start assigning him or giving him motivation other than generic Marine guy? And so the Cortana thing was always something that, again, that we all sort of knew. And it was like, it was unspoken, you know, when you go to get Cortana in Halo 3, there's very much a connection there that you can sort of feel, but it was never at the forefront, but they decided to make it the forefront here. So again, you're not wrong, but I feel like it was the start of something much more grand.
And I'm sorry, you might need to cut this out because they all blend together to me at this point. Is this the Find the Truth one?
No, we're playing that one.
Oh, that's five. Okay, great. So,
I don't need to cut that out. But what I find it hilarious that like that you remember the hunt, like Hunt the Truth was such a dumb thing, and yet we all remember it. But trust me, we're gonna talk about that.
I didn't even play them soon when it came out. To be honest with you, I still remember that tagline. I just wanted to confirm because in my opinion, a significant change in gameplay that's noticeable between those two games, which we will get to. However, speaking of Halo 4 specifically, gameplay-wise, it just didn't. The Halo formula is solid. It is a super solid shooter base. It's desperately, in my opinion, in need of some sort of updating, and I don't feel like Halo 4 gameplay did enough for me personally to make 4 feel stand out ish from the other titles.
I don't know if I entirely agree. I think that this is sort of the argument and sort of the debate that sort of, I don't want to say plagued the Halo games, but sort of plagued the Halo community, you know, from old school to new school kind of thing. And it sort of comes back from it happens to any franchise that's been around a long time. You know, there's still people, there's a debate among the Doom community whether or not Doom 2016 was the right or the wrong sort of direction for the series. There's people that have played those games and absolutely hate them that love the original. But for the most part, I think a lot of people were fine with it because it was an evolution in many ways of the franchise. But I think Halo 4 was a good half step. And I think that's all you really want to do. Like, I don't think the radicalization of the controls and how it plays, like if we would have went straight from 3 to 5, I think there would have been a lot more pushback than there was, simply because it would have been so different. Like, this, it's a faster Halo 3. It's Master Chief is a little bit more nimble, and they introduce, or shouldn't introduce, but you know, there's, you get like the jetpack and the camo and the turret and all these things that sort of are a play on the equipment from Halo 3, but they're a little more personal. They're a little more about you, and you can use them at your disposal. So I think it was a good happy medium. But I don't think you're wrong though either. Like if you don't like the original Halos, if you're not into the sort of grounded, slower gameplay, I don't think this one's going to change your mind.
Yeah. And it's something where, again, looking back, this sort of retrospective that we're doing with the franchise, it's definitely, I'm definitely getting a clearer picture of where I stand in terms of this series. Halo 2 is still a very special part of my life in terms of gaming, you know, having played through these, I could honestly say that really came down to mostly the if not all the multiplayer, that slower yet space jumpy gameplay was fresh. It was new. It was chaotic yet controlled. It was everything. It was the bee's knees back then. And then having played through up to 4 now, it definitely feels like it's stagnated in a way. And I agree with you. It is a good half step towards something new or different or fresh, but playing each game back to back to back now, I didn't feel like that half step was brought too much extra fun or anything for me.
I'm trying to think of the right word. I guess my question or my pushback to be, what would that, like, again, hindsight's 2020 on this one. Like, if you could play Halo 4 with Halo 5 sort of nimbleness and Spartan abilities, et cetera, do you think it would make it a better game?
Not to get too into Halo 5 and how we feel about Halo 5, but short answer, yes. I mean, we just did a bonus episode about Call of Duty, Vanguard, and that doesn't do anything super different for Call of Duty. But again, we kind of go into Call of Duty with the mindset of sort of that. Halo just seemed like a different kind of franchise to me, and it may be me projecting, but as someone who genuinely just kind of doesn't love the Halo formula, to get a new Halo and it's not, well, relatively new Halo, and it's that's supposed to be made by a different group of people, and that's kind of a key thing for me. When I learned that Bungie has left the building, and now we got new devs in here, I did not expect a complete and major overhaul, but at the same time, I definitely wanted a freshness to the series. I didn't get that. I got more Halo with a greed, a half step in a new right direction. And again, that's based around a campaign that I still don't love, or I'm gonna just say I don't like their level designs for the most part. They're out of the 10 or so chapters, again, like, you have one or two that are kind of fun, that kind of feel like explosive, adventurous Halo, and then a lot of it is just kind of like very bland level layout, a sequence of gameplay where it's, hey, go here, shoot this for X amount of time, hold down the fort, do it again, hold down the fort, do it again. It's like, I'm kind of over that gameplay already. And for a group of developers to come in after Bungie and kind of, for better and for worse, stay so true to the Halo formula, I was kind of like, eh, on it.
I don't know if I'm with you on this one. However, I also don't think you're wrong. The thing about Halo 4 to me is that if it existed in as a singular product, which it does, but I mean, if it wasn't part of a bigger grand franchise and a bigger narrative, I think that I would agree in that, like, yeah, this is an okay Halo game, but it was, I don't want to call the level design bland. I think there are slow moments in the game, but I think the throughput of from A to B to Z is much better than Halo 1 and 2. And now I understand that that is sort of a controversial statement because Halo 1 and 2, or more particularly 1, like Halo 4's biggest problem is openness. It doesn't have a lot of it. It is betraying Halo in that way of there's not a lot of just like drive around and have a good time. There's no salvo highway, you know. There's nothing from like Halo 1 where there's literally just levels where it's a big kind of, I won't say a sandbox, but it's a big island and you have to sort of, you know, drive around and figure your way through. There's none of that. And I think that is a detriment to it, but at the same time, it's a product that exists as part of a franchise, but it's also a product of its time, and it was definitely chasing that Call of Duty style campaign to the pluses and negatives that come with that. But I think it did a good job of skirting that line for the most part, of skirting that line or you know, dabbling with that line of being like, is this more cinematic or is this more Halo kind of thing? On its own, like if you were like, yeah, this is Halo and this is the first one, I'd be like, yeah, this is like a cheap Call of Duty knockoff. But by the end of it, I wasn't thrilled with it, but I always have a good time with it. I think the pacing is really well done. I think it's varied enough in that it doesn't overstay its welcome. It sort of establishes a story. Whether or not you like that story, I think it's a different discussion that we're probably about to have. But I think it gets its point across, and it's easy to understand. Whereas one of my biggest issues with the Halo franchise is that even though, like, you know, you've got Johnson, you've got the Brutes, and you've got the Covenant, and you've got these prophecies and all this other stuff, I have beaten the Halo franchise, God, more times than anyone should probably, but at least 5 or 6 times. I've played through every, I guess that's not true. I played Halo 1 through 4, including ODST, at least 5 times, probably more. I still don't know some of the things that happen in Halo 1, 2, and 3, especially 2. 2 is really confusing, and I don't quite understand part of it. I don't quite understand the Arbiter storyline either, but maybe I'm just dense. Whereas Halo 4, I actually understand it from start to finish. I understand exactly what's going on. And as a start to that, what was once the Reclaimer trilogy and is no more, I think it's strong. I think it's better in many ways than the older Halo games.
I agree with you for some ways, disagreeing some others. I think the pacing is, I do think the pacing is a lot better from the other Halo games, especially like the Reach game. Like, it's just like, I'd rather play through this. This one does definitely just move. Like, it doesn't bog you down too much. Narrowly speaking, anyway, because like these chapters kind of come and they go, like, but again, for better and for worse, because like that chapter, the chapters really come and go. Like, I can't talk to you 100% about what the Forerunners do and how they showed up and when and how what they did, but they sure did come and go. Like, it was, they were there and they were gone. It's like, oh, that was a thing. I don't know what thing it was, but it was a thing. So like, I definitely agree. I think for Halo 4, definitely for me, is a game of betters and worses.
Yeah, it seems like a game that's trying to find its footing, you know, or developers at a franchise that's trying to find its footing. And again, hindsight's 20/20. I find it so strange they started at this and then they ended it with Halo 5. Like, Halo 4 in its own ways feels rushed in some instances. You know, like, there's some hilariously weird editing. Like, it's one of those things you can look past, though. You know, if you look behind the curtain and you're trying to find all the inconsistencies and all those things, you're gonna find them. And Halo 4 is very silly, but Halo, in my opinion, is very silly to begin with. So I fully understand that the people and the criticism of that, of, like you said, it's like, I don't know why the Forerunners were there. They should kind of show up. But to me, I always viewed that as the, you know, the start of something bigger. And the fact that they were able to sort of wipe the slate clean with 4 and start with something new, like with the Didact and the, it's not Covenant, I am totally, Prometheans and stuff like that, I thought that was cool. Like, I thought it was neat to sort of be on board and know what's going on again. Where even, like I said, when I played the original games, I still, like, I'm being a little bit facetious, is that the word I want to use? When I say, like, I have no idea what's going on, I get the basics, but again, it goes back to that deep lore that Halo really wants to have. And I feel like this game, for better or for worse, isn't trying to be that. And I think it solves one of my biggest problems with Halo is that, like, at the end of the day, it's just about a dude in a suit and he's in love with this AI and he's got to save the world. And I think this story is the best telling of that, of it knows it's kind of dumb and it embraces it and it does embrace the love story side of it. And because I think it just, it goes for it, I think that's why it doesn't bother me the way it bothers other people. I guess, you know, spoilers. I should probably put it at the beginning of the episode that we are going to talk about spoilers. I'll cut that in. But you know, I think we do have to talk about the love story because it's a major pivotal point in the franchise, and the death of Cortana is a big one, kind of thing. Even though she's died before, but whatever. You know, it's something that really rubs you the wrong way, and I don't really mind it. So I think we got to talk about it a little bit.
I mean, I think it's more, more so the story of this this one game, and much more so the deconstruction of Master Chief. This may get a little deep in Halo, but we'll see. In general, you have games that offer cool characters. I mean, video games are all about cool characters, you know. Master Chief is obviously, whether or not they want to admit it or not, is obviously a Doom guy, parody, ripoff, spinoff, however you want to call it. He is Doom guy in a green suit. Doom guy is cool because he's Doom guy. What does Doom guy do? He goes to hell and he kills the devil and stuff. It doesn't matter how accurate that is. Doesn't matter how intricate the gameplay is. It doesn't matter how great or the level. Like, no matter what, Doom guy is cool because he gets the BFG and he blows things up. Like, it's very standard, and that's across the board with a lot of game characters. Growing up on Halo, Master Chief was cool. He was absolutely cool. Until you realize Master Chief is, and this game solidifies it. Like, for me anyway, Master Chief is a grown man built in a lab with no friends, no family, and the closest thing he has to a person that he loves in a romantic way is a cartoon. This is very sad of a character. This is a super sad character. This is a pathetic character. And I don't mean pathetic in the sense that you should hate Master Chief. I mean pathetic in the Shakespearean sort of way. If this was a play, he would be the character of tragedy. Like, and they're trying to play it off as this heroic type of thing, and it's like, or that he's still cool, and it's like, I mean, like, I remember seeing his face when he beat this game on Legendary. I remember seeing his face, like, years ago, and it's like, this is super freaking sad, guys. Like, this is a pathetic character, and, like, you want me to just jump into, like, Halo 5 and Halo Infinite, like, all right, let's go ride a warthog and with the good, like the good old days. It's like, yo, like, if you're going to deconstruct this character, if you're going to actually do this storyline where Cortana is so important to him, then really do it. You know, like, don't. I feel like this entire storyline is a cop out to just be like, Cortana is super important and chiefly likes her. And that's that. But they didn't go beyond that. Like, why does Chief like her so much? Why is Chief in love with a fake person? Like, I feel like to me, that's the movie. Like, that's like the whole thing with the didact just showing up randomly and dying randomly, like, in between. Like, I don't care. Like, even the game doesn't care about the villain. Like, the villain shows up in this game, and, like, at the end of, like, chapter one, you don't even see him again until the beginning of chapter 10 or so. Like,
yeah, he kind of disappears for a while.
It is a pathetically told story about a relationship that is actually, that I think is actually interesting, if it was told with any sense of guts instead of, isn't it cute to like boyfriend, girlfriend? It's like, it's really not that cute. Like, it's really a sad tragedy here.
I can't really say, like, again, like I can't say I disagree, but I think I'm having a little bit of the Marvel syndrome here, where it's just like, I was okay with a lot of it because to me, they had announced this game as part of a trilogy kind of thing. Like, we knew we were going to get more. And I think it does a very good job of planting seeds of the start of sort of these three pillars of going deeper into Master Chief as a character, going into a new villain, which would be the Didact and the Prometheans, and diving into Cortana and her sort of, I would say her as a character, because she's actually probably the most fleshed out character in the franchise.
Absolutely. I agree.
So, you know, more of just of what her importance is in this world and in this game. So there was these different stories they were starting to tackle. And again, like I fully agree that it's not told amazingly well, but it sort of has the Terminator problem with me, and stay with me, I promise. You know, Terminator 1 and Terminator 2 are
perfect films.
You know, legendary films. And it's to me, it's because they have a very clear beginning and end. And I'm not trying to say that Halo 4 is as good as either one of those, because it's not. But to me, it was very much it was the start of something, it was going to end. You know, like it they announced a trilogy, they planted the seeds, and we were going to get the answers that we wanted. And not that the Terminator, you know, ever had answers, but as soon as they started adding things after Terminator 2, you can't do it. Like, it's never been successful because that story was over kind of thing. And I get a little bit of that with here. It's like, it's very hard to like you said, it's just like they started answering questions that we didn't really have. Or again, we all knew Master Chief was in love with Cortana in some way. We didn't really need to go into that story, right? Like, it was told in such a way that you didn't have to speak it. You didn't have to say it. It was just a natural vibe. And I think that's way more impressive than flat out telling the story. However, the fact that they are telling that story and they're deciding to go this route, I think they did a decent job, like I said, of planting the seeds. That's why I think it just doesn't bother me. Now, again, hindsight 2020, we now know that, I guess we don't know, like, Halo Infinite is still going on this story, but Halo 5 is such a train wreck that we never get a proper follow-up. So, and in hindsight, it kind of goes nowhere. Maybe somehow Halo Infinite sort of makes good on this, but I don't think we're actually disagreeing. I think it's more of just
I don't either. It's like you said, it's like the Marvel issue, whereas you'll have two people who walk out of a Marvel movie, and if you just give them the three ratings of good, okay, bad, they may both say okay, but one is way more okay than the other, like, or vice versa. Whereas, like, this, like, I guess when it comes to this storyline of Master Chief and Cortana, it felt like, if you're going to dive deep into it, tell a better, more human story instead of the easy fairy tale, like, yeah, of course they're in love. Like, they're going to show how much they love each other. It's like, but to your point, like, that was way better told in previous games where it was just unspoken. To the point where it wasn't, one can argue, Chief loved her, but not romantically. She was his partner. And I think that's a love in and of itself that's important. You play any kind of game, any kind of arm game where you have your squad all the way through, like you end up loving your brothers, your sisters, your squad mates. Like, I feel like that's absolutely fine. But the second they said, what if Master Chief wants to make babies with the Cortana? It's like, whoa, this is the wrong story, guys. You kind of missed it. Right.
I don't want to say you're being reductive, because that's not what I want to say, but
a bit ridiculous.
I don't think you're wrong in that. I think that's, on the outside looking in, and without dissecting it more than anyone should, it's very easy to come up with that. But it's a romantic love, but at the same time, like, I do get this sort of feeling. It's like, I don't think it's a typical love. Like, yes, they want to be together, but do they really want to be like husband and wife, if that makes sense?
I think so. This story ends with either.
I hope not. If this ends with Cortana becoming human or Dragon Ball Z, you know,
exactly.
Like,
it's either that or the other way. Master Chief uploads his consciousness somewhere. Those are the only two. Because we now have, and again, we're spending more time on this aspect of the campaign than any other aspect of the campaign, because the other parts of the campaign are completely forgettable. Again, as forgettable as the villain itself.
I don't know if I agree, but
it adds to a lore of Halo that, I'm sorry, Halo fans, sucks. Like, it's just not. it's told in cryptic pieces. Things don't fit well together. There's clearly things cut left on the cutting room floor.
I'll agree with that.
The overall, if you want, it's so bad. It's one of those series that if you want to know what actually happened, you have to go read the books. Like, I'm sorry, like, in any franchise, whatever medium you start in, that's your canon. That's the, like, people should be able to play every single Halo game only. People should be able to watch every Star Wars movie only and get the story. The fact that to get the intricate parts of this story, the important parts of the story, that you have to then have to read books and watch anime, like, I'm good. Like, I'm good, man. Like, it's like, for me, someone who just played through these games, it's Halo Ring, Mary Cortana. Like, it's like, what? Like, there's nothing else really matters in this game. Like there's a whole universe ending almost event here. And the takeaway from this game is, will they or won't they? Instead of, like, there's like this huge thing out there. I feel like that should be the, if you're telling a science fiction story about the destruction of the universe possibly and how humans are the threat, then let's focus on that. But again, like, where the thing that you actually focus on is the romantic aspect of Chief Cortana, which, how do you wrap that up as well as send that off in a satisfactory way, as well as up the stakes, considering there are now, there has been weapons out there that can destroy universes or galaxies or whatever.
Yeah, I think the most telling thing that you said, you know, Halo 4 is really where it started getting too big for its bridges. And to go back to my Terminator thing is, like, you know, at the end of the day, that Terminator is a sci-fi action movie. At the end of the day, Halo is a sci-fi video game. And it's, you know, this is it. Terminator, at the end of the day, tells a story. And again, it interweaves the action into the narrative so seamlessly that everything matters. Like, even though the action is just action, it's pivotal to those, to the story, to the script. Whereas the action in Halo 4 is not pivotal to some of the main story beats. So there's definitely a disconnect there that I fully agree is a problem. But at the same time, like, I think that's a problem with video games in general. And I think that's why, you know, that's why Naughty Dog games sell and are so, you know, revered as timeless pieces, and they deserve their credit for that because they have they've made the action for the most part. Like I think some, you know,
they're different things there. Yeah,
yeah. There's some clear. Yeah, but when Naughty Dog fires on all cylinders, like they interweave gameplay into the story in a way that no one else is. I can't think of anyone else that's done it. You know, so
I mean, and I think you picked the a very good allegory with Terminator, because I see Master Chief and Cortana almost like Sarah Connor and Kyle Reese, you know, where it's like, you're absolutely right. This is a sci-fi story about the end of the world. But at its core, there's that companionship that saves the world, you know? And it's like, I feel like Terminator, and I'm sorry, I feel like Halo 4 as my biggest issue with the campaign is it hasn't brought those two together. It has not brought the core companionship of Chief and Cortana and really laced it well enough for me with the overarching Halo threat. They're going to have to bridge that gap somehow, and at this point it's being a bit shoehorned for me because it's like you've written yourself in a wall. So ultimately gameplay took a step in the right direction, not a huge step, not a big enough step for me to be like, yeah, this is we're there. It's more like we're getting there. I appreciate the more linearity of the gameplay, just because it moved a little better than previous games. The story just falls apart for me. Ultimately, I think it's one of the, again, like campaign-wise, I think it's technically one of the better Halos. However, story beat-wise, I'm looking at something else.
So I think it was going to come down to it for us to make a decision on Game Pass or pass. I think we do need to dip into the gameplay a little bit more, and just that this is the first time, not the first time, not at all. There's a third enemy, you know, instead of the Flood, we have the Prometheans kind of thing. Prometheans are very divisive amongst fans, et cetera, et cetera. I'm just curious how you felt on it. Cause while we did just spend a ton of time talking about the story, you know, I'm going to be a little bit flippant and say, is that the word I'm looking for? You know, at the end of the day, how does it play? Like, right. Cause this is a video game.
Exactly.
So, I think that while I think the story is very important, I think it's fun to talk about and debate. The gameplay at the end of the day is where it's at. And I think this game is lacking some of the Halo-ness, Halo, you know, like the Halo-ness of it's lacking some of that open aspects. I think that's a totally valid complaint, but I still really like this game. I like fighting Prometheans. I like fighting Covenant. And I think that's probably why I'm willing to give it more of a pass because I really enjoy playing the game.
And I will agree with you there. I think one thing they did was with Halo series in general, I always like shooting the enemy in Halo. It's always a good time. I think the AI in Halo is a bit special when it comes to shooters. We just finished playing Vanguard. The enemies just stand out in the open. They just stand in one place. Like, it's just
cannon fodder.
Yeah, that's all it is. Whereas the Halo enemy will run up on you. The Halo enemy will flank you. The Halo enemy will, if like a sniper is going to snipe, and that's all, and it's going to make sure it stays away from you. It's elites will duck every grenade you throw at them. They're aware almost. The AI is very good in these games, and it's very fun to shoot them. And I think the Prometheans are another fun target. Like they add a little bit of a ripple to the gameplay. I like their addition. I'm surprised people don't, honestly.
It's very divisive, in general, and I get it, because they do change things up. But Yeah, the weapons are probably the biggest, like, I don't want to say addition, but granted, they are a bit lazy.
A bit. Yeah.
Yeah, they're basically just, I don't want to say a palette swap, but it's a different version of the pulse rifle. It's a different version of the AR.
But
you know, the light rifle is the BR, but it's a little bit different, you know.
Like, but I mean, but that's Halo though. Like, I mean, they don't
exactly,
you know, right. Like, Halo doesn't, going back to what I said earlier, like, Halo doesn't really, I mean, war never changes. I mean, Fallout taught us that.
It's one of those hypocritical things where it's just like, oh, like, we don't want new things in Halo. We want more of the same, but better, you know. But when they do, you know, stuff like that, like, the weapons are just kind of different versions, and they all, again, they're not completely the same, but they're pretty close, you know, to other weapons in the franchise, that you know, it's counted as a criticism kind of thing. But I'm with you. I think they're cool. I like the way they look. I like the way they feel.
So. Yeah, absolutely. And the level design, I've gone back and forth on it, but I think I settle if I can only have one or the other in terms of that kind of open area aspect compared to the more of a linear gameplay with Halo specifically, I'm going with the linear gameplay, because like, historically speaking, with the Halo franchise, as fun as those open areas can be, there's also not anything to do there, or they easy to get lost there. They haven't been done extremely well. It's usually for me on the second or third playthrough where I know where to go and I know how to hit the checkpoint to where that open area becomes more fun for me. The open areas have been hit or miss for me personally, having gone back and replayed all these. Like, there's some areas where it's like, it's super open, but everything looks the same. So you end up lost and you don't know what the checkpoint is, you know what to do. It's like, seeing how I'd rather be put on a track and always having some sort of fun or engagement than ride around circles in a warthog. Like, okay, that was fun. Where do we go now?
Yeah, I think where, like, Halo ODST had, forgive me, I don't know the name, but the highway level. I think Halo 2 had one too. Like, I like that. Like, I like where I'm in a vehicle. I'm not completely, you know, going just straight the whole time. I've got some turns and stuff. I think those are good medium. Like, I do like the open stuff. Like, I'm not saying that I don't, but I'm with you in that it's not that it's forgettable, but it's, I that's not what adds to it for me. It's the fact that I'm in the vehicle having fun. And every once in a while I get to, like, a little open area that, you know, that's a circle that I don't have to drive just straight in. And 3 had some good stuff like that too. The completely open stuff, I'm not a huge fan, but yes, Halo 4 needed a little bit more of that, and I would not be surprised if at one point it was in there, but like you said earlier, there's clearly stuff on the cutting room floor in this one. There's clearly some stuff missing that just didn't make it in for whatever reason. That happens, it's video games, but I think this one, you can, because of the throughput of the game and the linearity, as well as the story being sort of more of a focal point, with pivotal plot points, you know, not just kind of thrown in, there's just gaps that don't make a lot of sense sometimes. So, but I think we've said all we can say. The question is, I mean, where are we at? Game Pass or pass on Halo 4 campaign?
This, I mean, I think we've been pretty difficult or hard rather on the franchise. I mean, me more, way more so than you.
I think hindsight, I think we've gotten it all right except Reach. I think we were too hard on Reach.
I think I would agree with that. Cause Reach, my issues with Reach,
the characterization,
the other games have, yeah, the same problems as Reach, but worse. I guess,
yeah, I
could hit it first with Reach. So I thought it was a bigger issue than it was. That said, I lean toward play this one. I think it's like you said earlier, at the end of the day, you can skip a cutscene. The gameplay here is pretty good. It's pretty good Halo. And it's worth checking out. It's worth playing through just to see the evolution, the beginning of the evolution of Halo gameplay.
Yeah, I'm definitely on play it. I like Halo 4 more than most people, and I do have my issues with it. And I honestly, like, I'm not gonna go to ramble, but I feel very, this is, again, stay with me. I feel very similar that I do with Halo 4 that I do with some of the Daniel Craig Bonds of, like,
Jesus Christ, how do we get the Bond? Like,
there's so much good in Daniel Craig's Bonds that I get super frustrated when they don't stick the landing and they deviate from what's good. Like, there are moments in the Daniel Craig Bond films that are some of my favorite moments and favorite characters in the history of films. And I feel the same way about Halo, but then they do something dumb. Like, they don't follow through with the good things. And it, unfortunately, in the end, it's still good, but you can see the greatness there. And it's so close to just being like the GOAT. And then it just doesn't get there. It gets in its own way, kind of thing. So play it. Just play it. It's fun. It's worth playing. I don't think we're ever really going to get the, whatever they were planning when they were making Halo 4, we're never going to actually get what the end was going to be because of Halo 5, which we are definitely going to talk about on an episode here very soon. So, and there's reasons for that. But when it comes to Halo 4, Game Pass or pass it on, play it with a friend, play some co-op, have some fun. But that is going to do it for this episode. Again, you can email us, gpopfans@gmail.com. Shoot us a text message, voicemail. Let us know how you feel about Halo 4. 574-651-9256. 574-651-9256. Rest of the year is basically planned out for us. We're going to be talking about Forza Horizon 5. We're also going to be talking about Halo 5, Halo Infinite. We're going to be doing some bonus episodes. And then it's also time for our game of the Game Pass game of the year, as well as our state of Game Pass. So end of the year, you know, we kind of do a wrap up. We pick our favorite games. I think it's fun simply because everyone does their game of the years and it's what comes out that year. But our list is always a little different because we're playing sometimes what we want to play, sometimes new stuff, sometimes old stuff. So like, for instance, all the Halo games. So we're going to, in the same year, we're going to have Cyber Shadow up against Halo 4. What other podcast gives you Cyber Shadow versus Halo 4? I'll wait. You can Google it. You're not going to find it only here on Game Pass or Pass. That's going to do it for this episode. We'll see you next time with either Halo 5 or Forza Horizon 5. One of the fives.
Good day, sirs.